Lizzie Connolly and I go back a bit. Thank you, Jim.
It's very exciting.
It is exciting. Made me throw my glasses. We've known each other a minute or two. We met when I first came to Austin in 92. We'd actually met before that in Arlington. And so we were next door neighbors out in Lakeway for a while. And then she found this wonderful man, Jim Connolly, and I got to do their wedding and cry most of the way through it. And
you were laughing.
That's about the way it went. And I made Bill propose to me after that wedding. You know what I mean? Yeah, we were there. And we haven't had a chance to share a service with each other in a very long time, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Sweet music. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Bringing such a sweet and mellow vibe to us today. Okay. I also want to say that I saw some of the pictures yesterday from the breakfast. And do you know, I just keep falling in love with you people. Every single time I'm with you, every single time, even in those photographs, I just thought, oh my gosh. I feel like I've landed in the luckiest place in the whole world to be here. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. And I'm grateful for you. And I just don't want to ever, I want to say it too much, okay? I want to say it too many times. I'm really, really grateful for you.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. So, I love Holy Week. And I don't know if how many Unity churches call it Holy Week. I think more and more are doing that. Because this week is about a journey. And it has the most excellent culmination. So today, as the Daily Word, thank you, Peter, as the Daily Word told us today about Jesus' journey into Jerusalem, it was a very humble journey for him. He was already a mighty presence in that part of the world with his teaching. He had every right, according to the accolades of all the people who loved him and were following him and listening to his teachings, he had every right to ride a magnificent horse into town. He had every right to go in some kind of conveyance where people would carry him. But instead, he rode a donkey, which, if you've ever been around donkeys, that's not something people generally like to do. He rode a donkey into town. And why do you think he did that? He did that because he wanted to make it about his message and not about him. He wanted to go in with humility and not pomp and circumstance. He wanted to go in as a man who had always been of the people, as the people. And he knew as he was riding into Jerusalem that he was in trouble. He already knew he was in trouble. You know why he was in trouble? Because he was speaking the truth. And the truth was a scary thing to some of the higher order in Judaism. So all the priests in Jerusalem, all of the teaching class, the priestly class, they were threatened by what Jesus was doing. The word was out that he was a renegade teacher. He was against the law. When in fact, Jesus was saying, no, you don't have to quit practicing the law that you've always known, Jewish people. But I'm here to tell you that there's more to it than just that. I want you to think about it this way. There's a couple of people here in this congregation that grew up in Unity, but how many of you did not grow up in Unity? Raise your hand. There we go. Hi, Richard. I know. Yeah. Richard was a unity baby, so. So think about the fact that you came from churches where there were rules for you. There were laws for you. There were things you were supposed to do. And if you did those things, you were guaranteed a place in heaven. Yes? And so the question that I would ask is, do you want to wait till you're dead? Or would you like to have it right now?
Now.
Okay. Yeah, now. Now's good. Now is good. We don't have to delay that particular gratification. So Jesus came into his life saying, hey, folks, I know that this is the law. I grew up as a Jewish man. I know what the law is. But there is something more than just the law. How about we start with love? Let's start there. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Let's talk about that first. Let's talk about the people that are blessed are the ones who are not trying to get out there and get blessed first. They're the ones who are meek, not in a wilting flower kind of way, but meek in a humble way. People who use their power to keep the peace. People who use their truth to lift others up. That's who's going to inherit the earth. People who look after each other. That's who's going to inherit the earth. So he came in with a message that was radical. If he were to show up today, he would be an activist. He'd be a social activist. Yeah? Think about it that way. Ooh, scary social activism. Just kidding. Trisha sent put an article on Facebook from Jim Rigby in Austin, who has been busting the traditional for, I don't know, 40 years. Jesus came to say, no, there's a new way to do this. You know, we could have laws that say, okay, everybody turn in their tax returns to Unity of Wimberley, and we will determine. Did somebody have a bad reaction to that? I think that was just baby. Hi. Okay, I see what your tax return says, so 10% of that, go ahead and tithe that. Oh, my goodness, do you know how many people would stop coming to church? Because tithing is something that you do out of your heart. Now, there is a law that says that which you give comes back to you in measures that you can hardly imagine. There is that law. That's the law of the universe. You give a little, you get back a little. You give in a way that makes your heart full. Guess how much fuller your heart is going to get? Jesus walked around in that last week of his life. He knew he was going to get killed. He knew that either the Romans or the higher priests in the temple, they were going to kill him. He knew it was going to happen. Did he go hide someplace? No. Did he try to talk somebody out of it? No. As a matter of fact, at that last dinner, he told Judas, go do what you need to do. Go on, go do. Because if you do your part, then I can do the rest of my part, which is just to show people that life goes on forever and ever and ever. So go do what you need to do. And there was an urgency in his teaching. He never stopped teaching in that last week. He never stopped healing in that last week. And only somebody who has a true sense of strength in their humility can continue to do those things. Only a humble person can speak their truth the way he did. I love that in the passage in Matthew, it talks about what he did. He cleansed the temple. Remember that time when he turned the tables over? There were some business transactions going on outside the temple that were against the spirit of the temple. It would be like if you were to walk into church and say, "I'm sorry, we're not taking American dollars today. We're going to convert it to Unity of Wimberley currency, and there'll be a fee for that." That was what was going on outside the temple, and Jesus said, "You do not do business like that in my Father's house." So he spoke in the parables, all those parables that the disciples could never figure out, but we're beginning to. He predicted his death. He had his last meal. He had his final night with his friends. He also has a long, long speech that starts out every paragraph saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. It's all coming down." And I love that. I love that whole passage in the scripture. I call it the woes. Woe to you. Because I have teaching that you need to hear. And if you can't hear it, the way you're living now is not going to be sufficient for you. So in those last few days, Jesus showed us how to live a full life. He only taught for 3 years. He only walked upon the earth teaching for 3 years. And that last week, he had a lot to say. He was running out of time. So here's this dichotomy of his humility and his courage. His love for people and his tough love for people. Speaking those words of truth that they didn't necessarily want to hear. The acceptance that his death was around the corner. And he never stopped working. He was willing to lose everything, his earthly life. But on the other hand, before he died, he was also giving away all of himself to people. And even at the end, he said, "Take this cup," followed by, "Thy will be done." We could live those two sentences every single day, couldn't we? Every time something comes up that worries us, that angers us, that we'd rather not have in our lives, we'd say, "Please, God, take this cup. On the other hand, your will be done." That's a total surrender. He lived his purpose. He kept healing people, knowing that he was going to get in trouble for healing people. Crowds kept gathering around him, even though he knew that those crowds attracted even more attention of those who didn't want him there. So he had this dramatic story, and you could call it a compressed narrative of these last few days of his life. I want to share with you what humility looks like. In every attempt in life, there must be the possibility of success and failure. We must have the stability and the perspective to deal with both success and failure in spiritual poise. Spiritual poise. Take that phrase home with you this week, spiritual poise, and ask yourself when you get a little cranked up about something, if you're experiencing spiritual poise at that particular moment, or if you would care to. You see, to become too elated with success and too crushed by defeat is indicative of an imbalance. In every setback, we should be buoyed up with the realization that nothing is ever a complete loss. There is always some gain and some growth. And in every success, we should be humbled by the realization that without action of forces greater than ourselves, we could not have succeeded. Jesus didn't expect everybody to hear his lesson and go, "Oh, that's a good one. I think I want to live that way." No, there were people who said, no, like the rich young man. He said, "I want what you've got." Jesus said, "Okay, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And the scripture says that the young man went away sorrowful because he wasn't willing to do that. Now, in the old churches that we came from, there would be this tendency that to teach that Jesus said we needed to give up everything. We're supposed to live poor. That we're not supposed to have stuff. But it's not about what you've got and what you've not. It's about what you're willing to do, where your fear holds you back. I bet all of us have one thing that we're afraid of today that causes some fear in us. So where does your fear hold you back from healing a relationship that needs to be healed, been needed to be healed for a long time? Where does your fear hold you back from giving abundantly of yourself, of your time, of your treasure? Where does fear hold you back? Where do you fear that you don't have enough? Where does your fear keep you from reaching out with yourself from yourself in love when that's not your natural way of doing things? There are many ways for us to express our love, my friends. And so this lesson in Holy Week is that Jesus might have had fear. It didn't stop him for a second. He had every chance to be the conquering king. And instead, he was the humble, strong servant. That's why we study this. That's why we dig deeply into this, because we could have laws and rules and just follow those or don't follow the rules. Get your reward later. You know, work real hard right now, following those rules. Go to heaven. Yay. Or we can live as fully as possible right now. In spite of our fear, that's real courage. In spite of what a big deal we might think we are, at our heart, we're humble servants. And see, we think of humility meaning, "Oh no, don't praise me, no." We think of it as modesty. But that's not what humility is. Humility is knowing ourselves and saying, "Yes, I accept myself with my beauty and my imperfections, the places I mess up and the places where I shine. Am I willing to be malleable and open to the Spirit?" Yeah, okay. That's what humility is. It requires that we live with this little ache right here. It's like a little physical ache because our heart is full. There's a chemical reaction in our body when we're open and when we're touched by the Spirit. I mean, I could ding this bowl and the vibration would resonate with something true and forever within you, because you are of the stars. You are of all the elements of the heavens. I want to share these words because they're so sweet and they're so beautiful. And I'm a little probably more invested than Jesus was in converting the Pharisees. But I want to share these words with you, and I want you to hear them, and I want you to take them on, and I want them to be you. You are now as spiritual as you ever can be. Ha! Huh. Do you understand that you don't have to get more spiritual? It's not like there's hashtag met my spiritual goal. Because that's hashtag you can leave now, like the earth. You're as spiritual now as you ever can be. You may increase your awareness of your true nature, which will in turn increase your flow of substance, more of you to give and receive in the world. You're not going to get prosperity out of a book, this one or any other. Prosperity comes from consciousness, which unfolds from within. That's what Jesus was living. He never had to worry about what to eat and what he was going to wear and how he was going to get from place to place and how he was going to have all the resources. He just walked out there in the world being himself, knowing himself to be one with the Creator, walking in divine substance. He never worried about a thing. And he had plenty. You will be amazed at the wonderful things that will begin to unfold for you as you develop a more positive image of yourself and as you recenter your faith in the all-accomplishing power of the divine process within you. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you, y'all need me in the pulpit like every week, or it's going to be like this when I get back up here. I'm just kidding. Kind of. It builds up. This lesson's been working in me for a couple of weeks. Oh my goodness. Don't be afraid to look at the master teacher. He was a master teacher. Why wouldn't we want to learn from a master teacher? No, thank you. I'd rather learn from somebody who says, oh. Yeah, that teacher's all right. They're okay. Learn from the master teacher. Learn from our elder brother. He did it. And next week we're going to talk about that ultimate thing that happened. But during this week, live with courage, live with humility, give of yourself, do the things he did. If you can lend a healing word or a healing hand to somebody else, do it. Don't hold yourself back. And you don't have to make a big deal out of it. Just be who you are, uniquely gifted, uniquely endowed with divine substance and divine spirit. You're as spiritual now as you ever will be. Wow. Take that into prayer, shall we? I want you to pay attention just for a moment to your heart. And you know, sometimes we let it close up too tight. We pull all of our parts into this protective shell. I'm just going to invite you to let that shell crack open a little bit and let your heart be wide open. You're sitting in a room full of people who want the same thing that you do. The best possible spiritual life that you can live the knowledge every day that you cannot, will not ever be without the right at your feet, in your hands, in your head, in your heart. Don't be afraid to let love transform you. Don't be afraid of that awesome energy that it creates. You'll be shown the way to use it. Don't be afraid of those tears that fall from your eyes like rain, because you're releasing all that that does not match up with your divine self. Don't be afraid to let go of your anger and fear. They're not serving you. We have the opportunity right now in this safe space, buoyed up by the energy and the intention of everyone else in this room, we have the opportunity to be alone with our God. To be in touch with that which is greater than us. And even if we don't know what it looks like, even if we don't have a definition, even if we're not sure, just be still. And we'll take a moment of silence, sacred and sublime. If your mind wanders, just breathe back into your heart. And now, with no one looking, just put your hand on your heart space. It's so tender and so powerful. It shows you what loving really is, and it helps you make a difference in the world. Loving Spirit, for all this goodness, we give thanks. For the week ahead of us that's coming, we give thanks for all the lessons, all the things that we notice, all the thoughts that we entertain that take us to a higher understanding. You are as spiritual right now as you ever can be. And so it is. Amen.